Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live. For those of you who don't have the little letters on your phone, that's 855-450-3733. The live post-Labor Day show with Mark.
And Julia.
It is, well, the Ian Freeman incarceration count-up. Clock is at 28 days. Ian Freeman, our normal, first host here on Free Talk Live, he has gone to jail for standing in front of a police car because they were taking away some woman that he felt was being arrested unjustly. Now, Julia, you're Ian's ex. What's that make you think?
It doesn't make me think anything.
Does it, you just don't think anything about it?
No.
How do you think you'd felt if Ian would have been, if this would have happened while you're a boyfriend, girlfriend? Do you have, can you access that area in your mind?
I don't know. It's hard to say. You mean as far as being jealous that Ian got arrested for a woman?
No, I don't think.
Okay, because I was going to say Ian, his intentions, I believe were, that's just the way he is.
No, he wasn't doing it to be a cavalier for the gal.
No.
Like that.
Or you mean the fact that my boyfriend would be in jail?
Right, your boyfriend went to jail for essentially slowing down a police officer by perhaps 45 seconds for a woman who would refuse to take a ticket and instead decided to go to jail.
Like
maybe it all seems kind of fruitless, but I don't know. It's up to you.
I would like to think that at this point in time, I don't know, I would probably have been used to, and be prepared for the arrest, right? Because Ian did go to jail once while we were together.
Yes.
And we were actually preparing for him to go to jail. However, I was prepared for him to go to jail for, 3 days to a week.
Yes.
And it said 90 days.
Yeah.
And to me, 90 days at that time was, just so outrageous. I was very upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was more towards the beginning, and it was a shock, the beginning of our relationship.
Okay.
So, it's hard to say, but I would be bummed, but I'd probably be better prepared, I guess,
you
mentally.
Had more time to get used to the jackassery.
Right.
So, anyway, it's Free Talk Live. You can call in and talk about whatever you'd like. I sincerely hope Ian gets out as soon as possible. There's a lot of, I miss him here in the sort of work environment, and, he's doing okay.
He's almost halfway done. If he gets out early, which he hasn't gotten written up for anything yet, so if he does the 60 days, he's halfway done pretty much, and I went and saw him last night, and he seems like he's in good spirits.
Yeah, he could be out in as few as 60 days with the good time that he earns by apparently getting up quite early in the morning and serving people grits and eggs or whatever it is that they serve up in Yankee prisons. And, I hope he gets out soon, frankly. But, we'll see what it is that he continues to do. He is a headstrong guy. So, Julia, you've got a story for me.
Right, from Wired.com. I like Wired as well. Does marijuana make you stupid?
This is what people say, right? They say that it makes you dumb, short-term memory and all that stuff.
I've heard so many things over the years. It's I don't know what to believe. Me, personally, I've used marijuana. Do I think that it's made me dumb in the long run? No. When I'm high, does it probably make me a little slow? Yeah, probably, but it goes away. Anyway.
People that drink are probably dumb when
they're... Oh, yes. I would say that drinking makes me dumber than smoking, for sure. To go on with the article, marijuana is currently registered by the U.S. government as a Schedule I drug, placing it in the same category as heroin, MDMA, and LSD. This is largely due to the first condition of Schedule I drugs, which is that the substance has a high potential for abuse. The language in that clause is deliberately vague. Does abuse equal addiction? Probably not, since marijuana is not as addictive as the other Schedule I drugs. Rats don't self-administer the compound in a lab. It's virtually impossible to fatally overdose. I would actually say it is impossible. I wouldn't really say it's virtually impossible. Nobody has ever overdosed on marijuana.
Yeah, at this point, I have not heard of a case where a person has overdosed to the point that they had killed themselves. Had a fatal overdose of marijuana. I don't know what an overdose of marijuana is. I know that people have had bad situations where they've smoked pot and it didn't go well for them. But they survived it, and they came out in a few hours, and everything was okay, generally. I suppose that a bale could fall on someone and break their neck.
Yeah. I remember one time when I was first getting into smoking, I think I might have eaten pot, and when you eat it, it's stronger, typically. It's different, and since it takes longer to kick in, I was probably smoking, too, thinking, oh, I'm not high yet, or whatever, and then it kicked in. And I remember feeling kind of dizzy, and not really so great. And that only happened to me one time. And I have smoked a lot of marijuana. So it's not common. If you could call that an overdose, it's not common.
Would you say that, I've heard of experiences and in fact had a bad experience with marijuana myself. Do you think they normally happen to younger people who are, smoking it for some of the first times?
That would be my educated guess.
And it's a disturbing topic, but, when I think about alcohol, I think I don't want my son Jack to learn about alcohol from a pimply-faced 16-year-old like I did.
Yeah, and me too.
And most people do.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dangerous situation. Let's give kids cars and let them go out at night, and they won't ever try alcohol. And, all these, already 16 to 18-year-olds are the most dangerous driving group on the road. And then you tell them, don't try alcohol, kids. You don't talk to them about it. They don't have any experience with it. Of course they're going to try it. Of course they're going to drink till they're S-faced and can't handle themselves. And, I'm not going to put my son in that circumstance. He's going to have the opportunity to try some alcohol with meals and at home. And, it's not going to be this amazing new forbidden fruit when he is going out with his friends. I'm very disturbed by the idea of marijuana, him ingesting marijuana. It's probably because it's illegal. I know that alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana. It's just so much more societally acceptable. And
there's a lot of repercussions that come with getting in trouble for marijuana. I was arrested when I was 18 years old, just turned 18 years old. And
yep.
It's a nightmare to, the legal process, all the stuff to get rid of that. It sucks. And so I get it. You know,
fortunately, my son is 3 and a half, so I really don't have to think about these.
Maybe it'll be legal by the time he grows up. That'd be nice.
That would be nice.
So to go on with the story, rats don't self-administer the compound in the lab. It's virtually impossible.
Wait. I'll step down from that for real quick. For
sure.
Those that are out, there are a lot of people out there that believe marijuana is addictive. I don't care what you say. It's addictive. Look, the science says it's not addictive. Now, there are people that can get addicted to anything. There are people out there that have addictive personalities, and they get addicted if they ate ice cream every night at 10 o'clock. They'd need to have their bowl of ice cream, and they'd have a bit of a little fit if they didn't have their ice cream. This is essentially how it is for people that smoke marijuana. You can get addicted to marijuana if you're an addictive personality, and you'd get addicted to anything, but you could get addicted to anything, so that doesn't make marijuana addictive. Marijuana is not addictive because rats won't self-administer.
Yeah, and that's they've done. I'm trying to think of, was it cocaine? They've done studies with addictive drugs like meth. I've seen this in a documentary about meth, and the rats they'll go back to it as often as they can. And
yeah,
I've also seen studies with monkeys and alcohol, and the monkeys, some of them are alcoholics.
Yeah.
They will keep going back for that alcohol.
Well, and I think that there's alcohol, I really do believe, is far more addictive than marijuana. For me, when I drink alcohol, if I drink alcohol in an evening, I want to continue drinking it through that evening until I get tired, then I go to bed. But then I wake up the next morning with a headache.
Right.
So this is one of the reasons I choose not to drink alcohol and, too often. I'm certainly no teetotaler or anything like that, but I'm not going to have one beer every evening or something like that. I have found that wine doesn't bother me, whereas a beer and those kind of things.
If you have a glass of wine, it may not bother you. If you drink a bottle of wine, you're going to feel it the next day.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I've never drank a bottle of wine, so I wouldn't know.
No comment. No.
Yeah. Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. Marijuana make you stupid? Yeah, got any stories about people with bad marijuana experiences? Give us a call, 855-450-3733 on the Sickle CAI line, Free Talk Live.
If you're tired of pouring a big glass of water and not knowing what's in it, it's time to put your trust in Big Berkey water filters. And here's why. Berkey water purifiers do not require electricity. They're gravity fed. Big Berkey water filters remove odors and many contaminants like chlorine and bacteria to undetectable levels. Big Berkey water filters cost only 2 cents per gallon and the filters are cleanable, lasting up to 3,000 gallons. Compare that to store-bought filters. And Big Berkey water filters purify both treated and untreated water. Remove the bad, leave the good, and get peace of mind knowing your family is protected with a Big Berkey water filter. For the best prices available and our price match guarantee, go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-992-BERKEY. That's Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com or call 877-992-3753. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Boost Kit Essentials Nutritionally Complete Drink, providing your picky eater with essential nutrition and great taste in one drink. Visit us at kitessentials.com. To make sure your kids eat healthy, follow the 5-a-day plan. Serve 3 servings of vegetables and 2 servings of fruit daily. Remember, a serving could just mean a piece of fruit or a half cup of veggies. If your kids are picky eaters, ask a nutritionist about other sources. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm. This time warns of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. You heard me right. The GAO is drawing a parallel between the U.S. economy, its debt, and the current Greek economic meltdown. With the debt-to-GDP chart climbing into unfamiliar territory, the growing budget deficit will rise to unsupportable levels. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risk of continued deficit spending coupled with an aging population and the rising interest rates spell economic disaster. It's imperative that you get a copy of this document and study it for yourself. Call me today at 800-686-2237 and I'll send you a free copy. Again, call 800-686-2237 and ask for your copy of the CBO document. Once again, you need to read this government report. Call 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ally-C. Why Ally-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ally-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ally-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ally-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ally-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ally-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ally-C. For more information and to order Ally-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ally-C today.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
It's 855-450-3733. It's Mark.
And Julia.
Free Talk Live. So we're stunned by music.
Yeah, it's so funny because we're creatures of habit, us human beings. And like, when I don't hear the metal, I'm not, like, in show mode.
I wasn't sure what was going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. And isn't that Pink Floyd? I just would like to say I hate Pink Floyd, if it is, and I think it is.
I'll take anything at this point that isn't that long-haired devil music that Ian puts on. And
I don't even think Ian likes that music anymore, to be honest.
No, he just came up with some music beds and doesn't want to do the work of getting any new ones, I think. My opinion, so I applaud anything new here. Speaking of new, there's new show topics, new stories all the time at freetalklive.com. I'm getting IMs here and stuff, saying that apparently there's some kind of technical difficulty. Anyway, at freetalklive.com, you can go and check out all the new stuff that that people post. You can post things yourselves, blog posts and that kind of thing. Go check it out. It's freetalklive.com. Ruger has some exciting new offerings for this model year. The LC9 is a new, slightly larger cousin to the very popular LCP. It's compact, has numerous safety features, a three-dot sight system, and Ruger always has and always will mean rugged. The Ruger LC9, the next handgun you must own, made in America and made for you, Ruger.com. Julia, let's talk about... we've got a call here. I'm all out of sorts with the new music. Let's go to John in Huntsville. John.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hey, what's up, Mark?
Not a lot. Hanging out. Doing a radio show. What's up with you?
Right. Just hanging out. I just wanted to chime in on this whole marijuana subject.
Okay.
I myself am a chronic user.
What's that mean?
I'd say I probably smoke about 5 to 7 times a day.
Okay.
Meaning
like chronic
like
user.
A bowl, you know, here and there. Chronic
user. Does it even get you high anymore?
Well, that's the thing. It does, but I would not compare it to the probably first year or two that I ever smoked, where, you know, you smoke and then you get into this, you know, just super high realm of non-reality or whatever. But
it's definitely different when you start out. I would just chime in with that. That in my personal opinion and experience, every drug is like that. I mean, alcohol is not the same as it once was.
Changes your brain chemistry. So
a variety
of
drugs that I've done, LSD, MDMA. These all the experience changes over time as you get used to it. But go on.
Absolutely. Sure, and I just kind of wanted to go into the addiction side of things. I've always been like a preacher of, you know, legalizing pot, and I've always been talking to my friends, just naming off the millions of reasons of why it should be legal. But one of the main things that, as you guys touched on, is people claim that it's non-addictive, and I believe that it is physically non-addictive. I would be one to propose that it is possibly mentally addictive. As I said, I've been a chronic user for probably about 5 years now of just solid everyday smoking, and any time I've tried to put it down or tried to stop, I've had absolutely no success, and the next day I'm fiending so hard to smoke, and like
sure.
I just have to have it to the point that I'm calling everyone I know to get it. Now, granted, I wouldn't, you know, give out sexual favors for marijuana, as some people might do for a harder drug such as heroin or something like that. But I will say that I get super, super stressed out when I don't have it, and it's really like a safety thing for me. Like it's like a comfort blanket, if you will.
I would agree that definitely is the case for a lot of people, that some people would absolutely say that marijuana is psychologically addictive. But like you pointed out, I would say that the withdrawals from that psychological addiction are nothing like amphetamine, alcohol, nicotine even.
Also,
sure.
I'd like to ask you this, John. I mean, would you call yourself an addictive personality?
To be absolutely honest, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's... The addictive personality is more likely to get into a pattern of smoking marijuana 5 to 7 times a day.
Sure.
And, you know, and for that person, yeah, you're going to, once you get used to doing something, you know, doing something new is going to bother you. I get upset when I'm out of town. I don't like being in new, different places very much. This didn't used to be the case for me, but it is now. that doesn't make me addicted to being in town. It makes me kind of nervous and, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it's an issue with me, not an issue with, you know, the town that I'm in.
Sure. And I would agree with that point. And as I said, I'm a complete advocate for marijuana and legalizing it. So I would definitely agree with you there.
And I'm trying to come up with, you know, how to properly describe it, because there is this, there's this collapse in our society between things that are physically addictive, and the verbiage for things that are physically addictive, and the verbiage for things that are addictive to, that people that have addictive personalities might get addicted to. A person with an addictive personality can frankly get addicted to just about anything. And, you know, and marijuana isn't physically addictive, but it is a pleasant experience for a lot of people. And so, therefore, you're going to find people with addictive personalities getting addicted to it because it's a pleasant experience. And that's why I always come up with the example of ice cream at night. If you had a bowl of ice cream every night at 10 p.m., you're probably going to be pretty grumpy and not want to, you know, you're not going to sleep as well, and things aren't going to go as well for you because you didn't get your ice cream.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the point where you mentioned some people having a bad experience when they first smoke.
Yeah.
I've been around people that have had this kind of effect, especially being such a strong smoker. I'm often the one that's offering it to someone for the first time. And seeing certain personalities try marijuana, you definitely realize that the ones that tend to, quote-unquote, freak out are the types that are very self-conscious, very worried about what others think about them, and they tend to, when they get high, I believe they kind of get a bit introspective and start thinking, you know, is everyone looking at me? Am I acting okay? You know, it's the people that already kind of have issues with that that seem to have an even worse issue with letting loose, you know, getting high.
Yeah, it could be true. I've certainly, you know, I've seen people react that way and had that experience. My first time was nearly hallucinogenic, and, you know, it was just so much for me to handle. What's that?
The first time I smoked, I said, wait a minute, God doesn't exist.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-FREE. Thanks, John.
The shattered Rust Belt, come the Lost Vegas.
I brought a woman with me. No woman be here. I just came to watch my LED.
Life Before the Collapse, vinyl LP by the Lost Vegas.
Drinking too much coffee. I'm leaving the shade somewhere.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall.
Why don't
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the greatest depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. This is the live post-Labor Day edition with Mark.
And Julia.
We are on day 28 of the Ian Freeman incarceration count-up. And you can go find out all the news about Free Talk Live by going to news.freetalklive.com. You'll find out when Ian's out. If you go ahead and sign up for the emailed updates at news.freetalklive.com. You can also sign up for our Twitter, our Facebook. It's all right there at news.freetalklive.com. Are you looking for camping, hunting, or shooting gear? ManVentureOutpost.com carries knives, ammunition, scopes, binoculars, laser sights, tactical flashlights, fish finders, and boating equipment. ManVentureOutpost.com, they're family-owned and members in good standing of the Better Business Bureau. Some prices, in fact, are so low there on the website that they can't even be mentioned on the air. Get an additional 5% off. They're already low prices with coupon code FTL. FTL is in Free Talk Live. You can get it quick. Get it from ManVentureOutpost.com. So, Julia, let's go to the phones here. Talk to Chris in Michigan. Chris? Chris, can you hear me now? I think there's some button that is not pushed here on our board. Chris, can you hear me now? Chris, can you hear me now?
Ian back in 32 days, yep. Hopefully.
Let's try this. Chris, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can still hear you. Can you hear me?
Yep, gotcha.
Okay, cool. Hey,
it's your brother, Julia, pushing little buttons on this damn board. He won't leave him alone.
He was always a button pusher.
Okay. Go ahead, Chris.
I'm in Michigan. Michigan's one of the few medical marijuana states. And what are we doing here in Michigan?
There's about 15 of them.
Yeah, it's definitely a growing number. What they're doing here in Michigan could just as easily have been done, or if it hasn't been done already, could happen in any of the other states. Probably a protest for two of the bills here in the state, one of which was Senate Bill 377 and House Bill 4661. They make a few adjustments to the medical marijuana laws, and it's going to affect a lot of people. And for me, an anti-state perspective, I could see the potential for the state to really abuse these adjustments that are happening, and the adjustments that could happen to people, one of which are the state police department will be granted a list of all of the patients who are currently card-carrying members, either caregivers who are allowed to grow pot plants or patients themselves, and this information will be readily available to any officer upon pulling up the information of the person, you know, pulling them over, questioning them, anything. That information will be readily available to them via a database they're going to create. The fear I have about this is with the corruption that we currently have with police force, if you get pulled over and your name appears on this list saying that you're a card carrier, this officer, let's say you just swerved or whatever, you're completely sober, this officer could easily take you in just because you show up on that list. You get a blood test, you're probably going to test positive for THC because you've been smoking in the past month even.
They do have a test to find out whether
saliva,
or not you're driving stoned.
Saliva. I think it's saliva, isn't it?
I don't know.
The swab test, the saliva. I've heard about this.
And
I don't know if it's unfortunate that they use it in Michigan or not, because I've never, anytime I've been pulled over, if I have been appeared to be stoned or anything, I've been given a sobriety test. They've never given me a swab test or anything.
The swab test, I don't know about the swab test. I do know that there is a test that they can administer to find out whether you're stoned or not, and it's expensive to do. And but it is, it is as accurate as they get, far more accurate than taking, some blood or urine or something like that, knowing that you've smoked in the last 30 days, which is of no help to decide whether or not you've been driving. Will they try to convict you for driving under the influence if they take just a urinalysis test? Sure, they'll try to convict you. They don't care. I mean, it's all about the money for them. But you can demand one of these other tests, and if they don't give it to you, then the test would be thrown out if you actually took it to court instead of just plea bargaining your way out of it. So
99% of people go with the plea bargain.
Well,
so
people need to know that, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm totally for saying no to the plea. Another thing it'll end up doing on here is when you do go to register as either a caregiver or a patient, they have what they currently consider the need-to-know information in order for you to get that, which is you need a physician's note saying that he'd recommend, saying, hey, this is plausible to help the condition that they're suffering from, and you need to be of age, and you have to have a valid driver's license or state license, those types of things. This bill also changes that, and it notates on there where it will be information. Basically, I don't think back verbiage in front of me, it's not work, but basically what it ends up doing is it gives them an undefined amount of information beyond what it currently says. It's basically any information that the state deems necessary that you have to surrender to them. And I think that's kind of a violation of privacy. If you get any sort of other medication, they're not going to ask those types of questions. I'm not really sure what they could ask, but anytime there's any sort of legislation that leaves a really open-ended statement in the legislation, with like the whole reasonable doubt or possible suspicion or something like that, it's definitely a lot of room for abuse.
So
that's one thing that
I hate it when they have some kind of ambiguous statement in the law about, well, if the officer considers it to be reasonable, then it's fine. The officer thinks it's reasonable that he does whatever he wants. And, sadly, there are a certain number of police officers who have this personality that they can, they can do whatever they want. And everybody, in fact, will be a petty tyrant at some point in their life. That means that every police officer is open to abusing their power.
Exactly. So those are the two big points in there. There's a few other changes that make, so I'm going to detail those. And the other bill we were talking about was HB 4661 in Michigan. That one redefines where you're allowed to cultivate. With that one, it says that you can't within 500 feet of a place of worship, a school, or a daycare, as defined by the MCL, if the number of us in Michigan. What that ends up doing, it doesn't seem that at all, 500 feet, that's what, like maybe a city block, if that doesn't seem that bad. But when you look around communities around, especially in the city or township, that really narrows it down. And when you go to look at what that MCL they refer to is actually the Environmental Protection Agency Act that was passed, is what they're referring to, how they break it down as daycares, I'm not entirely sure. So I did some research on that, and that's any non-residential location that that takes care of a minor for less than 24 hours. According to the Michigan Medical Marijuana Association, they say that rules out about 90% of communities in Michigan. I did some number crunching. A 2000 survey that was performed on people at worship was about 1.7 to their practicing worshipers attend an actual place of worship in Michigan. And then there's up there it was 2.4. And then you have another 1.7 that are actually students in Michigan, both public and private. Our population is just under 9.9 million, so we're looking at close to half the people in here all will be using one of these facilities that reduce that. So what that ends up doing is it really corners any of the current patients because the caregivers, if they're within those, have to shut up shop or else they get felony charges of up to 5 years and $2,000 fine. And that bill also makes it so they're not allowed to transfer between caregivers without going through the state bureaucracy, and they have to have mitigating circumstances why they have to leave that caregiver and to go to another caregiver. The big reason for that was to shut down the dispensaries, which, like the other 14 states that currently have medical marijuana laws, the DEA is underrating them anyways. But
so what's the claim? What is the claim by these the lawmakers and the bureaucrats that the abuses are going on? I mean, what's the terrible effect of some people, using marijuana to solve their medical problems? I mean, surely they're instituting these laws because there's been some kind of problem, right?
Yeah, their claim is because the dispensaries, when they first passed the law here in Michigan, they didn't make any verbiage as far as dispensaries or compassion clubs go. And so it left it really open to interpretation. And so a caregiver who was allowed to have 5 patients under their care, as far as the law is concerned, was allowed to transfer patients on a whim pretty much. They just had to fill out the paperwork themselves, send it in. As long as the paperwork was sent in, effective immediately, from what I understand, they could go ahead and change patients. While doing so, they were able to create these compassion clubs or even dispensaries. And they claim that the dispensaries are attracting not people who are lawful medical marijuana users, but instead are just a bunch of potheads who are trying to score a pot, which I think is hilarious in the first place, considering the fact that they gave them the license to begin with. They figured they should have kind of caught it there and then, because this does affect people who are actual medical marijuana patients. So that's the big thing, is we'll start on the dispensary.
Thanks for the call, Chris.
That goes with. Thanks.
Thank you. Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live.
Heart and Body Extract continues to receive positive testimonials from people who have experienced amazing results, like Reed.
I just wanted to send you a quick but a very big thank you for Heart and Body Extract. I've been on the formula for nearly a month now, and the improvement in the circulation of my legs has been simply amazing.
Reed was facing a tough choice.
I was facing surgery due to the severity of the 100% blocked arteries in both my legs. And my decision, waiting for surgery, to say no and try Heart and Body Extract instead, has been thankfully the right decision.
And the result?
I can now walk up steps without noticeable pain.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours, too. We take a very simple but proven 3-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
OpticsPlanet.com is where discerning gun owners and outdoorsmen go to gear up. OpticsPlanet has the best selection of rifle scopes, red dots, night vision, holsters, bags, and tactical gear on the planet. With always low prices, free shipping on most orders, and expert customer service. Go to OpticsPlanet.com/GCN to get a free gift with purchase. That's OpticsPlanet.com/GCN. Or call 800-332-OPTICS. 800-332-6784.
Are you limited on time to research the economy, industries, and stocks? Are you tired of the Wall Street crooks putting their interests ahead of yours? Then you need TrendsEquityResearch.com. 100% independent TrendsEquityResearch.com provides the best equity research on the web, period. From value investors to short-term traders, we have the important information you need to know. Stay ahead of the game and let us do the hard part. Visit TrendsEquityResearch.com today. TrendsEquityResearch.com. Trade smarter.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453. That's the SACL toll-free call-in line, 855-450-3733. Give us a call, talk about whatever you want to talk about. Or we can continue talking about the marijuana topic, which is very interesting here, an article as to whether or not marijuana makes you stupid. But first, you know that cigarettes are bad for your health. You've probably been thinking about giving the e-cigarette a try. It's 22,000 times healthier. Listen to this offer from Vaporsmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will already save about $120 a month, so you'll already start being richer, feeling better, and smelling better. How about a free starter kit? Just purchase 40 cartomizers with coupon code FTL. That's FTL as in Free Talk Live. And you'll get a free starter kit. You'll also get free shipping because it's more than $60. I think it's $69 for the 40 cartomizers. Those are the things that hold the nicotine. You can get it at 855- to get vapor or vaporsmiths.com. Again, it's 855 to get vapor, vaporsmiths.com. Julia, continue with the article if you would, please.
Okay. The case for marijuana abuse has always stemmed from its cognitive effects. While cigarettes are like caffeinated smoke, they increase attention and productivity. Marijuana is the drug of choice for slackers, hippies, and Seth Rogen.
Seth Rogen?
I don't know.
Okay.
In popular culture...
It's another one of those, the entertainment section on Trivial Pursuit.
I know who Joe Rogan is.
Okay.
You don't know who that is?
I don't know any of these people.
Okay. In popular culture, all it takes is one hit from a bong before people become ridiculously dumb, unable to solve the simplest problems, or utter a coherent sentence. Potheads eat a lot and laugh at stupid jokes. The larger worry, of course, is that such damage is enduring and that smoking dope permanently impedes learning and memory. That, at least, has been the collective stereotype for decades. There's even some science to back it up, especially when the marijuana use begins at an early age. But now a different answer is beginning to emerge, thanks to an authoritative new study led by Robert Tate at the Australian National University. The scientists look at the long-term cognitive effects of marijuana use in nearly 2,000 subjects from the ages of 20 to 24. The subjects were divided based on self-reports into several different categories, from total abstainers to current light users to former heavy users. Over the course of 8 years, the scientists gave the subjects a battery of standard cognitive tests, most of which focused on working memory, verbal memory, and intelligence. One of the important advantages of the study is that the scientists controlled for a number of relevant variables such as education and gender.
The gender can make you dumb? Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying I'm seeing like cross-eyed here the way the microphone is. What I mean? It's hard to concentrate. So I apologize for that. I fixed it. I think. In time, Maya, I can't pronounce her last name, explains why the statistical adjustment is necessary. The lower education levels of the pot smokers and their greater likelihood of being male had made it look like marijuana had significantly affected their intelligence. In fact, men simply tend to do worse than women on tests of verbal intelligence, while women generally underperform on math tests.
Interesting.
The relative weighing of the tests made the impact of pot look worse than it really is. That's according to some scientists, I guess.
I'm going
to
take their word for it.
Yeah. Once these population differences...
If all they did was control for gender and education, then that seems fine. I mean, if you control for those things, then that's okay. That's all it's going to do is tell you, you know, how the young males perform against the young males, the young females against the young females, the old females against the old females, and the old males against the old males.
Right.
Whatever groups.
Exactly. Once the population differences were corrected for, the long-term effects of marijuana use disappeared. The scientists found that there were no significant differences between the group at all. In other words, the amount of pot consumed had no measurable impact on cognitive performance. The sole exception was performance on a test of short-term verbal memory in which current heavy users performed slightly worse than former users. So basically, once you stop using, you just go back to normal, or is what they're suggesting here.
Okay.
The researchers conclude that contrary to earlier findings, the mind-altering properties of marijuana are fleeting. The adverse effects of cannabis use on cognitive function either appear to be related to pre-existing factors or are reversible in this community even after potentially extended periods of use. These findings may be useful in motivating individuals to lower cannabis use even after an extensive history of heavy intake. Now, that's an interesting point.
If you're dumb, you're just dumb, is what they're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which makes sense. But what I was saying is it's interesting here that these findings, there are some people out there would say that, you know, this is bad, right? You shouldn't tell people this. But these people are saying, you know, maybe it's... Some people might say, well, I've smoked this long, and I'm like dumb, and there's no coming back for me, so I might as well continue to smoke like this. And they're suggesting that evidence like this could make people say, well, it's not long-term. Maybe I should cut down a little bit.
Well, I wonder how short-term it is. I mean, what is short-term, and how short-term is short-term? Obviously, that they don't address that in this.
No.
This is about long-term, but... I haven't, I've smoked marijuana in my life, and I haven't felt dumber the next day, frankly.
No, me neither. I have felt dumber the next day after a heavy night of drinking.
Indeed, there's no doubt about that. So, I haven't had too much as far as a hangover goes from marijuana, but I've had terrible hangovers from alcohol. It seems to me that whatever effects are as far as marijuana, that they certainly are when you're, you know, smoked it or consumed it in whatever way, but that they kind of go away as it goes away.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is that the story?
Oh, there's so much more.
There's some good quotes here? I mean, more statistics?
Not really. I mean, it's going on to just talk about, like, the study builds on the previous work of a Harvard researcher demonstrating that learning and memory impairments of heavy marijuana users typically vanish within 28 days. So you asked.
Okay.
How long? They're saying after you stop smoking for about a month, basically, any ill effects that you might be feeling would go away.
And that would be
away.
For heavy smokers? I don't know that I would ever have fallen into the category of a heavy smoker.
See, so. I think I would have. You know, and I'm not necessarily sure that I ever had really any negative effects from smoking marijuana, except that I was a little sleepy. You know, like marijuana just puts me to bed at this point in time. It just makes me tired. And it doesn't last till the next day.
It obviously it would go away. I mean, even if you took a nap, it generally is gone.
Yeah,
away.
Exactly.
I don't know. It doesn't seem to me like the effects go on for very long, but then again, that's only my personal experience, and scientists are doing science here, so
yeah.
I'd much rather hear what the scientists have to say.
Well, several days might seem like a long hangover, I missed one sentence here. They're saying that a slight impairment, now I've heard this before, a slight impairment exists while you aren't high anymore, typically 1 week after smoking. I've heard this before. I don't know if I believe it. Like, I've heard that marijuana stays in your cells, so because of that, like, you stay kind of high. And
I think it's unfair of us to choose to believe what we wish to believe out of this article if we expect other people to believe what we want them to believe out of this article. You know, I mean, I don't know. If the scientists are saying that that people are impaired, it doesn't mean that we would even know.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say, by the way, that I don't really smoke a lot of pot these days at all. So I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to justify this for myself. I'm just talking about based on my past experience in which I have smoked copious amounts of marijuana.
Far less marijuana than you used to.
Yes. While several days might seem like a long hangover. Heavy alcohol users typically experience deficits that persist for several months, if not years. In other words, heavy marijuana use appears to be a lot less damaged than alcoholism, which I feel is odd. I mean, is there anybody out there who disagrees with that? Please call if you do.
Not too many people would defend alcohol use. We did have one guy call in and say, well, you can have just one beer, and, you know, therefore alcohol is better than marijuana because you won't be affected by just one beer, which, of course, isn't true. You will be affected by just one beer. But, you know,
and
I
you
understand
can have
what
just
he's
one,
trying to say.
I get he's trying to suggest that you, like, once you're high, you're high. But I can tell you right now, buddy, one hit off a joint and two blunts to your face, totally different things.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So there's consuming a little alcohol and smoking a little marijuana. There's consuming a lot of alcohol and smoking a lot of marijuana.
Right.
You know, if you're going to feel a heck of a lot better in the morning, and you're going to make fewer bad decisions by smoking a lot of marijuana than you will by drinking a lot of alcohol. I'm not advocating the smoking a lot of marijuana. I don't think that's a great idea.
Seems like a waste of marijuana to me.
Well, I think that when people do marijuana, usually for the first times, that they can have some bad experiences. And, you know, I don't want people to be in the circumstance where they're having that experience by themselves. You do want a babysitter if you were doing something like that. And in the same way that I wouldn't want my child to be drinking alcohol, out with his friends, making bad decisions the first time either. So, your thoughts, 855-450-3733. Is alcohol better than marijuana?
You know the U.S. dollar is devaluing. You can see it happening every day. You know a new currency will take over at some point. Wouldn't you like to be in on the ground floor? Bitcoins. They're a decentralized, anonymous internet currency. They're free to use, free to accept, and free from inflation forever. You can use them anywhere in the world, and their value seems only to be increasing. Find out more at weusecoins.org. Don't be kicking yourself in the pants in a month. Your dollars are going down. Bitcoins are going up. Weusecoins.org. You know that cigarettes will kill you. You've been thinking about giving the e-cigarette a try? There is a healthier option. 22,000 times healthier. But listen to this offer from Vaporsmiths.com. A pack-a-day smoker will save $120 a month. So you already start being richer, feeling healthier, and smelling better. What more could you want? How about a free starter kit? Just purchase 40 cartomizers with coupon code FTL. Free shipping on orders of $60 or more. 855-2-GET-VAPOR or go to Vaporsmiths.com.